Episode number 60 of the Mitch and Neil's Bull Show. You're looking at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts. We're not insiders. We're not journalists, but we are two guys that love talking about the Chicago Bulls. And on this week's episode, we traded in Neil's. We got my man, the swing man, mm-hmm. the man lurking in the passing lanes.
Yeah.
My buddy E. How you feeling, buddy?
Feeling great. Really excited to talk to Doug Tonis today.
Yeah. Starting Five. It's our five podcasts in 5 days. We're talking to all types of Bulls experts. And spot number two is Doug Tonis. He's the author of Bulls Confidential, the blog. And he also does the Bulls Beat podcast. He's got some good insight in the Bulls, got access to the Bulls. Definitely a must follow on Twitter. Must read on the internet and must listen on the podcast.
Super smart guy, tells it what he thinks, doesn't try to sugarcoat anything. If he's a fan of the Bulls management, he'll call him out. If he doesn't like what they're doing, he'll call him out. I absolutely love reading his stuff.
Yeah, definitely excited to talk to him. And also excited for, we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, our Bulls show, trivia showdown. That's going down next week, the 28th, 7 p.m. at State for all of our Chicago-based listeners. And, you know, in celebration, in anticipation. Mm-hmm. Did I get that word right? Anticipation.
You know, you struggle with that word the first, like, four takes as well.
Listen, there weren't any four takes.
No?
This is the only take.
Where was I 5 minutes? Yeah. 5 minutes ago.
Well, I actually.
Standing outside?
Well, yeah. Okay, listen. I deleted the podcast, actually, okay? This is our second time go around, all right? I'm sorry.
No, we want to get it right. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. In the spirit of the Bulls show trivia showdown, we talked to Doug about a little trivia. I will say, you punked out on this. Yeah. I wanted to match you two up against each other. You declined.
I have too much respect to be pitted against Doug.
All right. Whatever.
No joke. I'm not being facetious. I love his stuff.
All right.
Well, you will get to listen probably for the next few minutes about my fanboydom.
Well, one more thing. We had a lot of people respond to our fantasy draft. We filled up the first lead, but what we're going to try to do is get a couple more people. And if we can get a couple more people, we actually may open up a second league. We're hoping to do that. So if you haven't got heard back from us yet, that means we're waiting for more guys to try to sign up so we can get that second league filled up so we can accommodate everybody. So, that's it on that front. Shout out to all of our sister sites and partners, Bloggable, Bulls Podcasters, Chi City Sports, and of course the one and only GoWhereHipHop.com. You can check us out there on the web, Bulls Show or TheBullsShow.com and The Bulls Show on Twitter. All right?
Let's talk to Doug.
Episode number 60 of The Bulls Show coming up next. Oh, and one more note, guys. We're going to have a few notes and a few comments after. So stick around after the podcast. We'll be talking about what we think about the interview.
Yeah. Good. Wishing I could wrap my whole life up in 24 karats of gold. Lately, I've been dreaming about diamonds and pearls. Yeah, diamonds and pearls. And enough money, I could rule the world. If I rule the world. Yeah, if I rule the world. It got me thinking, man, if I rule the world.
All right, back on the Bulls show, we got the one and only Doug Tonis. Doug, how you feeling today, buddy?
I am doing great. It's a wonderful day, and happy to be on the show.
Yeah, we're sitting here watching the Bulls kind of put the beating on the Bucks. Bulls looked really good in the whole preseason. So we'll start with a guy who's probably been the most impressive player on the Bulls team during the preseason, Taj Gibson. Doug, you wrote an article kind of about making the case for starting Gibson. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, real quick, I guess, you know, there's been this sort of, I don't know, everyone hates Carlos Boozer thing going on for a couple of years. And this season so far, going into preseason, you see that Taj Gibson not only is destroying Carlos Boozer on defense, but he also looks considerably better so far on offense as well. And it just makes you wonder, is it time to maybe put Carlos Boozer back into the bench role? Or I shouldn't say back, but move him to the bench role and put Taj Gibson, rather, into a starting role. And I think there's some reasons why that might work besides the obvious that maybe Taj Gibson's just a better player I like the fact that Taj Gibson is going to run up and down the court faster. Maybe he plays a little bit better with Derrick Rose in that perspective. He's someone who doesn't create his own offense, so he doesn't need dedicated touches, but he's someone who's going to finish with offensive rebounds on the times that Derrick Rose goes to the hoop and misses, but drags a couple guys with him, but just gets the ball up on the rim, where Carlos Boozer is maybe not as likely to do that. And on the other hand, Carlos Boozer from a bench role, I think, maybe fits in well because that bench unit doesn't really have anyone that creates their own offense. Kirk Heimrich is someone who's a little better at feeding the post than Derrick Rose is, someone who maybe wants the other players on the team to score more than he's going to score, like Derrick Rose can score himself. And so maybe the bench could also actually use Carlos Boozer's type of offense more than they can use Taj Gibson's type of offense. So overall, I think there's some case to be made that's just a better fit for the team.
Yeah, I've endowed myself this, but I think it's pretty fair to say I'm the number one Carlos Boozer apologist in the city of Chicago.
If it's not exact, it's pretty close.
I mean, I'm in the top five.
Yeah, easily.
I'm certainly up there with people probably with last name Boozer. I got to agree with you. And then the big thing I think is the offense. The Bulls' second team, I think, is going to be devoid of offense. And Boozer plays so well. I think you brought up this point. Plays so well with Kirk. I think he's just a better offensive player with Kirk on the floor, and they'll give that second team a real scoring punch. And that's a pretty tough scoring team. Now you got Heinrich, now you got Dunleavy, now you got Boozer, and Tony Snell plays well. You've got a team that's probably similar to the bench mob, right? Or that has the offensive power to play with or be compared to a team like the bench mob.
Yeah, I can see that, and I kind of agree, but as we were talking about earlier, I think the biggest concern is who plays backup center in that case.
Yeah.
Is it really going to be Nazer? Now we're going to rely on him on 20 minutes a night?
What do you think about that, Doug? The Bulls kind of relied on Nazer to play backup center last year. He's a year older, and obviously with injury concerns with Noah, do you think Nazer is going to be able to play the backup center for 20 minutes a game, or is it going to be fall in the hands of Gibson?
Well, I don't think this bench is going to be like the last couple benches where you had guys who were just like five-man shifts and you had this whole bench unit. And that's really kind of an unusual situation when you look at teams across the league where they're basically playing five guys as a unit. You know, most teams are just interjecting a few guys here and there. They usually keep at least one starter on the floor at all times, maybe two starters on the floor, and just kind of rotate guys in and out. I think the Bulls will do that a little bit more this year, and I think you kind of hit it. Nazi Muhammad is probably the guy who's going to play fewer minutes from this bench role than some of the other guys. I think he's probably someone you don't want to see on the court for more than 10 minutes a night. I guess from that perspective, I'm not sure how much more than that you would necessarily see Kirk Heimrich either. You know, I mean, Derrick Rose, I don't think is going to sit out more than, you know, 10, 12 minutes on a typical night. Maybe if they're just destroying the opponent, he'll sit out more. And maybe Kirk gets a few extra minutes backing up the shooting guard position, depending on how much Mike Dunleavy plays. But I think this year you're going to see more of the Bulls interspersing their bench guys with their starting lineup guys and not so much of two different rotations. And I do think that they'll probably play small a little bit more and they'll be using a traditional backup center, and so that Nazi's role will be a little bit less than the other bench guys.
And that's kind of the, I guess, model that the league is moving toward, playing much smaller lineups, not so many traditional back-to-back centers in the league. So we can see what the Bulls do with that. Speaking of the bench guys, Marquise Teague is a guy that's come into the news. There have been trade rumors that he might be moved to Utah, a couple other teams. What are your thoughts about that? What do you think the likelihood that Marquise Teague will be on the team at the end of the season?
Well, at the end of the season, I think it's probably maybe 50-50. The thing that I get is that the Bulls aren't really enamored with Marquise Teague right now. And so if they're not enamored with him, they'll be looking for a trade. And I guess the thing comes up is just whether or not they can find anyone who's going to take him on and give them something worthwhile back. They could maybe try and move him just to trim it off his salary, but there's really not that much there to trim, so they won't be saving a whole lot of money. And I think if they keep him, you know, at least you have some backup point guard for the next couple of years. It just seems to be like they're not happy with Teague's development or his performance. They don't like his vibe, whatever. But they just seem like they want to move on. And I think the main reason they might not move on is just that they may not find anyone who wants to give up anything, you know, useful. I don't think they'll just dump him just to move him off the roster. I think they need to at least get back, you know, a couple second rounders, you know, maybe a backup big man that they can use. They need to get back something for him. I don't think they'll just get him just to get rid of him. So I don't know. I'd say it mainly just depends what's out there.
I'll actually take that edge case. So would you do that? I meant to say like, kind of curious what you think. Would you personally do two second rounders, say two picks in the 40s straight up for Teague?
At this point, you know, I still kind of like Marcus Teague. It depends. It's hard to say because if he's not going to get a role on the team and if Tom Thibodeau is not going to play him, then you start thinking, well, if Thibs isn't going to play him, you might as well move him. And the thing that makes me feel like that might not happen is, you know, I asked him at Media Day, I said, hey, what do you think of the bench? It looks like it might be a little weaker this year. He went on to name a bunch of guys that were going to come and play a role off the bench, and he didn't name Marcus Teague as one of those guys. And he hasn't, you know, really been playing Marcus Teague up until the point where other guys got injured and he had to fit him in there. You know, Marcus Teague was not playing with the rest of the bench guys. You know, Eric Murphy was in ahead of him. Tony Snell was in ahead of him. You know, everyone was in ahead of him. So I just don't get the feeling that the Bulls want to play him. And if that's the case, then I think you might as well take 2 second rounders rather than keep a guy the coach just simply doesn't like for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because if Kirk is there, I just don't see Teague getting on the floor. But there really hasn't been a time that Kirk has been – I mean, has Kirk ever played 82 games? I mean, I'll fire up a basketball reference really quickly, but I think it's to be expected that Kirk is going to miss 20 or 30 games, and it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Will the Bulls be happy with Mike James being their backup point guard? It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't get the love for Mike James at all. I know there was the rumor – that Mark Deeks had out there that they guaranteed Mike James a roster spot. You know, I'd much rather have Teague than Mike James. And besides, and that's just like right now, it's not even discussing what Marcus Teague might become if he plays. And I also think, you know, he's shown, at least now that he's gotten some kind of consistent burn with the unit, with guys being out, and he's played the last 3 or 4 games. You're starting to see him coming around in preseason too. I think the last 2 or 3 games, he's shooting over 50% and, you know, you see some of those flashes of explosiveness, and you see him being able to do a few things out there. So I would much rather keep Marcus Teague, especially what are you going to do next year? You know, are you going to really bring back Kirk Heinrich again? You know, and for like $4 million rather than keeping Teague around? I mean, it's not like Teague's a superstar backup point guard, but I think he can be decent, and it's not going to be easy to find another backup point guard for like $1.5 million. And even then, you only have the MLE probably next year, so you're going to need to figure out maybe a way to replace Luol Deng, maybe a way to replace Carlos Boozer if you're amnesty him and you don't bring Mirotić over. So you've got a lot of holes to fill next year, and Marcus Teague, if he's not perfect, fills one of them, the backup point guard hole. So I'd rather keep him around given a choice, but it, I don't know. Just doesn't seem like maybe that's what the Bulls want to do.
Well, he certainly has, I think, 2 real NBA skills. And E, you might disagree with me here. I think he could definitely get to the basket at a high level. He can penetrate. Now, whether he's putting together the finishing or putting together the ability to kind of kick it out and create some open shots, that might not be there yet, but he certainly can get to the basket. And I think he does have a lot of potential as a pesky perimeter defender. He's definitely athletic. He seems pretty long. And he seems like he can kind of hassle people. I kind of think back to that one stretch he had against Boston, one stretch he got against Brooklyn last year against Deron Williams. You know, I think there's something left in the tank. It'll be interesting to see whether the Bulls will give him the James Johnson treatment or they'll keep him around.
Speaking of James Johnson, waived today. So
was he?
Oh, yes, man. Listen, I believe that's the case.
I think that means that the Bulls have a great opportunity to a horrible wrong, bring James Johnson back in the fold. And I'm really excited about it. I'm still a believer. I'm still a James Johnson believer.
Are you still waiting for Eddie Curry too?
I'm still a Ben Gordon believer. I'm still an Eddie Curry believer. I love all my bad Bulls. All right. Well, this guy's not a bad Bull. Derrick Rose, obviously, been playing excellent.
I think 10 minutes to mention his name. This guy has to be a Bulls podcast record.
Yeah, really, right? Simply put, he's played pretty incredibly over the last four games. Is this a small sample size theater, or could Derrick Rose really be this good?
Well, I mean, he's playing like an MVP-type player, and he is an MVP-type player. So, I mean, I think he can really just be this good. It's not like we've never seen Derrick Rose dominate the hell out of people. So the only concern was whether he'd come back from the knee. It's been, 17, 18 months now? So he's at a point in his timetable where he should be pretty much fully set to go, and he looks fully set to go. So I'm going to say it's the real deal, that Derrick Rose is just on a mission, that he's going to be explosive and awesome and dominate and kick the crap out of NBA. You know, that's what I think is going to happen. It looks like he's got a chip on his shoulder when he plays. It's already preseason, and he's, you know, just diving at the basket, play after play, tumbling.
And he's diving at big guys. I mean, he's dived at Larry Sanders three times this game we're watching here. He's diving at Roy Hibbert. He does not really – it doesn't seem like he cares.
Yeah.
The explosion is crazy, and the mental aspect of it, you know, he's not hesitating. He's not, you know, thinking about the knee. He's just exploding at players. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I was listening to your last podcast, I guess this is now almost 8 days ago, and you were amazingly calm when Derrick Rose sat out the game in Brazil. Be honest. What was the most worried you were in that stretch where we weren't sure if he was going to play the next game or maybe even two?
I was not really ever that worried about it, just because he looked so good to me in the first couple games. And I just thought, you know what, his knee is a little bit sore. And like I said, I think on the show, I said, does anyone really think that there's something structurally wrong with his knee now because he sat out a game? And so if he has a little soreness here or there, you know, I just didn't view it as a big deal. And, you know, it's certainly possible that Derrick Rose is going to miss a few games in the regular season with knee soreness. And if that happens, it's not a big deal. But to me, the most important thing was to see him playing at his peak, and his peak is really good right now. And I think we all agree with that. And so he's got the whole season to figure out a way to round into that shape around May. You know, we just got to figure out to keep him rested enough and healthy enough, and he can sit out enough nights or whatever he needs to do is fine. As long as he can look his best in May and hopefully June, I think we'll all be really happy.
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. You know, we've had a previous coach punched in the face when talking about minutes. I don't think this coach is going to get punched in the face.
Right.
But
do you listen to Woj enough?
Yeah. Do you think that Tom Thibodeau will be able to kind of hold himself back and rest Derek? I mean, he doesn't seem to be that guy.
He doesn't seem to be, but he did seem to make a note that he needed to be more careful. I think the Bulls as an organization have kind of made a shift when they brought in like Jen Swanson to manage like total health of the players. And I think, you know, there's somewhat of a feud maybe between the front office and the coaching staff over some of this stuff. And to some degree, the front office does have final say over some things. You know, the coach can say he's got final say over everything, but that's not really true. You know, in the end, if the management says, hey, look, you need to put a minute cap on these guys, I'm sure that Thibodeau will abide by it. You know, I don't think they're going to be out there calling plays on the sidelines, but something like a minute cap is, you know, kind of like a broad thing to work through, and I think it can be expected that Thibodeau will do that. So we'll have to see how it goes. I think maybe Thibodeau sometimes gets a worse rep than deserved for some of this stuff. He does give guys days off. When they played a lot of games, he would give them a lot of practices off in between. So I think he's aware that sometimes he needs to rest guys. I would like to see him maybe take guys out of games a little bit earlier sometimes, but we've all seen games where you come back and you lose when you're down by 15, when you're up by 15 at the end of a game and somehow you lose it, or you come back and win a game like that. So I understand why the coaches get scared to take guys out, even with just a few minutes left. You know, there's like that Nate Robinson playoff game where he scored 14 points in a row. And if you were Brooklyn, you'd be like, well, of course we can't take anyone out, because stuff like that happens even when you leave guys in sometimes. So, you know, you get why they're scared.
No, definitely. I've always wondered, you know, is there a giant difference between 32 minutes and 35 minutes, you know, 31 minutes and 36 minutes? how does that play in terms of keeping a player healthy? You know, these guys are professional athletes. They're doing a lot of running around. I know we talked about this on this podcast before, with E, and, you know, that's maybe a topic for another day. But, you know, I've always thought that Tibbs has got a bad rap.
Here's a better answer. You wouldn't last 30 seconds in an NBA game.
I wouldn't last 30 seconds in the game. Well, I don't know if you know this, but like Derek, I'm an elite athlete with a knee injury. So right now, I might not be able to last.
Okay.
But maybe when this ACL gets a little bit better.
Okay.
All right. Well, Doug, you know, overall, this postseason has been really nothing but positive. Really, when you think of, you know, on balance, but, you know, negativity sales podcast. So is there anything that you have been disappointed by? Anything that you've seen over these, you know, past four or five games that made you worry just a little bit about the season going forward?
If I wanted to get particularly picky, I would say the Bulls have been one of the best drafting teams in the past decade.
Right.
And they lost their director of college scouting, Matt Lloyd, a season ago to the Orlando Magic. And so since then, they've drafted Marcus Teague, and they've drafted Tony Snell and Eric Murphy. And right now, even though, you know, I noted I hope the Bulls keep Teague and try and develop him, I'm not particularly high on any of these three players.
Huh.
And, you know, watching Snell and Murphy, you know, I can kind of see where they're going with Snell. I can kind of see why maybe it has a chance to work or whatever. But I'm a little concerned that maybe the Bulls' really great drafting may have just left to Orlando.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore. And when I look at that going forward, you know, that's where they're getting all this great bench play a lot of times, is by having a guy like Jimmy Butler, you know, who's drafted late and he's not maybe expected to do much, and having Taj Gibson, who's drafted late and not expected to do much, and Omer Sheik, who's drafted late and not expected to do much. Having those guys come in and play really, really strongly, you know, gives the team that great depth, because you can't just go out and sign tons of guys with the mid-level exception. And there's a sort of, I think, misconception that if you're a great team, you get all these great players at the minimum. And look at Miami and all the great players they have at the minimum. If you actually look at any of their decent bench players, pretty much none of them came from the minimum. Like, you know, Udonis Haslem wasn't a minimum guy. Mike Miller, I don't believe, was a minimum guy. Maybe he was. I can't remember.
No, Ray Allen wasn't.
Ray Allen was not a minimum guy.
And you know who was?
Shane Battier was not a minimum guy.
Rashard Lewis was, right?
Yeah. The Birdman was a minimum guy, but then he was available for the Bulls or any other team to get for like three quarters of the season or whatever it was. You know, so they're not actually like filling up their bench with all these great minimum guys and doing well. And so, you know, you need $2 or $3 million to throw at to get like a decent bench guy, and you can only do that once an off season. And so when I know the Bulls are looking at this off season coming up, potentially having multiple holes, you know, if you don't have that good drafting, especially the ability to get role players in the 20s and, you know, oh, maybe even as late as 30 if the Bulls have the best record, it's going to be really tough to keep that bench going. And so maybe that's what I would say my biggest concern is. And when you look at Marcus Teague and Tony Snell, if you could count on those two guys to give you what Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler and Omer Sheik gave you, like before that, you'd feel amazing about our bench. But I don't think anyone looks at those guys and feels that way.
Well, I don't feel that way about Teague. I don't feel the way about Murphy. I kind of like Snell. I like his length. I like his ability to shoot the ball. And I think we're going to see pretty quickly with Snell. Like you, I think that Lawal Dang's days are numbered here. So if they are, you know, I think that you pretty much have a race for the starting two guard, assuming that Butler slides over to the three between Dunleavy Jr. and Snell. So I think we'll see pretty quickly whether he's going to be a player or not for this Bulls team.
Yeah, I love the theory of Snell.
Yeah.
I mean, he's long, he's pretty athletic, potentially a good defender, good shooter. So far, I have not necessarily loved what I've seen of Snell in practice. But I will, of course, throw out the "it's way too early to tell."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, disclaimer on that. He's barely played.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope he plays really well. Just I'm not overly enthused so far.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you so much for breaking down the Bulls with us, coming on the show again. Before we go, though, as you may have heard, we're about a week away from our first annual Bulls Trivia Showdown. We're going to be going to state 7 p.m. Next Monday on the 28th, and we're going to be giving away $500 to the top team. So in preparation, we're going to put you in the hot seat, Doug. I don't know if you're ready for this. I don't know if you're ready for this. If you just want to hang up the phone, I understand. Cause this is a lot of pressure. Cause I don't know if you know this, but you're playing for, our love and respect. And I think you could put a pretty big dollar sign on that, right?
Don't listen to him. You already have my love and respect.
No, I mean, this is it. I mean, I may just unsubscribe from the best Bull podcast, on the planet, the Bulls Beat, if you can't knock these things out, man. I think your credibility is on the line.
I'll be in trouble. I'm terrible at trivia, but I will do my best. Right. I'm not afraid to risk humiliation and despair and lose respect. So if that happens, then it's a comedy show.
All right. We're going to play a game called And Now. And basically, this is how the games break down. I'm going to do my best Ray Clay impression. I'm going to kind of announce a player from the Bulls past, a former player. And I may give you another clue if you're looking for another clue. And you've got to kind of identify that player. So let's see how you go. We're going to do three of these. We're going to start a little bit easier. A 6'8 guard from the University of Michigan.
A 6'8 guard from the University of Michigan.
Yes.
So I'm already screwed because I don't know what college pretty much any player came from.
All right. I'll give you a quick clue on the first one. All right.
That's okay. Give me a second to think
about
it.
All right. Okay.
There can't be that many 6'8 guards that have gone through the team.
Yes.
If I think about it. Oh. All right. Let me ask you this. Is the player from prior to 2004?
His best moments were absolutely pre-2004. Although I think he was on the Bulls sometime around there.
A little bit after, I think. Right around there.
Yeah.
We'll say this. He's played in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Okay. He has kind of a similar hobby to you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose. Yeah, we should have had sound effects.
Well, isn't that your department?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Yes. Jalen Rose is correct. All right. Player number two. We're going to stick with the guard. A 6'6 guard from Miami of Ohio. I'll give you a clue. He's averaged double digits in 9 NBA seasons.
See, my Bulls trivia prior to 2004 is so awful. It's not a big follower of the team actually prior to that.
Played some key roles on some championship teams.
This is not going to help you, but it's a fun fact. He was actually called Mini Jordan for a little while.
He was not called Mini Jordan.
Yes, he was. You can look it up. Yep.
Absolutely. The only Mini Jordan I can remember was Harold Miner. I don't recall him playing on a championship team.
We'll move on from that one. We'll give you a shot at number three. The answer to that one was Ron Harper.
Ron Harper was called. Oh, he was called Mini Jordan.
I don't think he was called Mini Jordan.
I'm looking. I'm going to need to see a link for that.
I remember reading the history about Ron Harper in some book, and when he came out in the draft, when he was with the Clippers, he was like a dynamic scorer, and they thought he was going to be the next Jordan, and then he hurt his knee,
yep,
and never became the same afterwards.
All right, I'll take you two guys' word for it. We'll play our final question: a 6'7" guard from Europe. The year before he came to the Bulls, he played pro ball in Italy.
How tall did you say? I missed that.
He's 6'7".
Okay.
6'7".
And I'll tell you, he did not play on the team last year. He did not play on the team last year. 6'7" guard. Played pro ball in Italy before coming to the Bulls. But he is not Italian.
So he's not Kobe Bryant, you know, right?
Not Kobe Bryant. He's played for the Bulls.
He didn't make it with the Bulls yet. All those rumors. I'm trying to think of Europeans that have have come and played with the Bulls.
Did he? I actually don't. Did he come here straight out of Italy?
What do you mean straight out of Italy?
So after playing professional ball in Europe, in Italy, did he play for the Bulls as the first team?
Yes, the first NBA team was with the Chicago Bulls.
You've actually lost all love and respect.
I'll give you guys, performance. I think both of you guys don't know this. I'll give you one more clue. He's very recently played in the NBA Finals.
Oh no! Is it Bellinelli?
No, I said he didn't play for the Bulls last year. It is Thabo Sefolosha.
Oh,
Thabo Sefolosha.
Italy. Yeah.
He actually played in Italy for a year.
I didn't know that.
Actually, a couple years before playing with the Bulls. All right, Doug.
I did not realize he was from Italy. I remembered him. Wasn't he like Swiss?
He's Swiss, but I said
Swiss Miss.
Yeah, I said he wasn't Italian, though. He wasn't Italian. But
yeah. I didn't recall him playing for Italy. I'm embarrassed for that one. The other ones, I don't feel so bad, but Sefolosha, I feel I should have known.
That's okay. You're still the preeminent Bulls insider. I was just lying about that stuff. I was just trying to hop up a trivia contest. I still love and respect you, Doug. It's all right.
Well, you know,
I know how much that means to
winning
you.
The $500. So you all have to come play the contest because I'm not going to take the money.
Well, I'm sure you got some listeners that you can round up. That you can create a mean team. I'm sure round up a mean team. All right. Well, Doug, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Every time you like to come on, you know you're more than welcome. We really appreciate it. Doug Tonis, you got to Google this guy if you don't know about him. But, I mean, if you know who we are and you don't know who he is, you're just doing it wrong.
BullsConfidential.com, probably the biggest inspiration for us actually starting this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Doug. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
All right.
See ya.
Years of selling Johnson & Johnson. I started out as a baby face monster. No wonder it's diaper rash on my conscience. My teething ring was numb by that nonsense.
All right, that was Doug Tonis. Thank you again, Doug, for coming on the podcast, dropping the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy to talk to. What was your biggest takeaway from the interview?
I think his patience with Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in the minority or not, but when Derrick Rose missed the game in Rio de Janeiro, I was freaking out, and I'd like to think of myself as a patient person. So I wanted to hear what another patient person by the name of Doug Tonis would think.
Yeah. I don't think you were alone. A lot of Bulls fans, if you went to Rio GM or the Blogger Bull comments, people were a little bit beside themselves, but it's good to see that Derek's back. Precautionary measure.
You know, you say the bloggable comments and real GM boards as like a mocking thing. I dropped.
No,
ESPN.
I'm not mocking.
No, not mocking the sites, but mocking the people who are freaking out.
Yeah,
I was that guy reading conspiracy theories at that point. The minute I heard it, I almost ran to my computer.
Well, it's good to see that he's back tonight. He tore it up. I mean, it was looking outstanding. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks don't really look like an NBA team with the team they fielded out there.
Bill Simmons put them 15 or 16 on his power rankings.
Yeah, that's a rough ranking, man. They are raw.
Yeah.
I think the best player on that team.
Larry Sanders. They have a lot of one-on-one ball.
I mean, that team, I mean, they're going to struggle to score.
Yeah. They also have Zaza Pachulia.
Yes.
Let me be honest with the fans here for a second. I have a really handsome mugshot on the bullshow.com website. That's not, I wish I looked like that. I am much closer to Zaza.
I wish we could, I mean, you're the one that controls the internet.
Yeah.
I wish that the internet website.
There's a reason the man who controls the internet has a handsome picture of himself.
I'll tell you, if it was me, it would just be our two caricatures and then a real picture of Zaza Pachulia for you. I mean, that's what I would do, but I'm funny like that. All right, guys, thank
Maybe
you.
Maybe if you contributed to building the website, we would have taken that input.
Listen, it's all about my vision.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What is your vision?
You see the website. All right. Guys, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow, starting five, with more Bulls analysis.
Regular season, just a little week away.
Yeah, man. We're going to be talking about the Bulls. We're going to be talking about, a great season. So guys, for Niels, who is away on his, honeymoon.
Yeah.
At the United Center.
Yeah. You just stole my joke.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, listen, man.
You did deliver it much better than I've tried in the last few takes.
Yes. I'm a naturally funny guy.
Okay.
For Niels, E is to my left. My name is Mitch. Guys, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bull Show.
Peace.